Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked On Wolves. Today on the show, the Timberwolves have made another front office addition. We'll talk about who it is and what their role will be with the team this year. Plus, Glenn Taylor sat down for an interview with Darren Wolfson, a couple highlights from that interview, my thoughts on what Glenn had to say. And also, David Aldridge of The Athletic released his offseason rankings. Who had the best offseasons? You'll be surprised how high the Timberwolves rank, especially compared to some of the other national pundits who have panned the Timberwolves offseason. We'll talk about all that here on the show today. Welcome in. You are Locked On Wolves.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beek and I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Friday, everybody. Happy weekend. Thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen each and every day. Of course, this show is free and available everywhere. You can listen to podcasts. That includes YouTube as well as all of your favorite audio platforms. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and my account at BBeacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. All right, today on the show, a couple of bits of news here off the top related to the front office and ownership. And then we'll get into talking a little bit more about the offseason, what the national folks are saying, specifically David Aldridge of The Athletic had a really nice write-up about, he is in the midst of ranking all 30 offseasons. He got to the Timberwolves pretty early because he thought very highly of what the Wolves did this offseason. So we'll talk about that here for a good chunk of the show. But I want to start with some of the news that just came out in the past couple of days here since Wednesday's show. We'll do this in reverse order. So the front office edition was late Thursday, like Thursday afternoon-ish. Even later than that, Thursday evening, it was announced that the Timberwolves would be reported first by Mike Singer of the Denver Post, who had been kind of all over the Connolly news. He was a big fan of Tim Connolly, clearly, and talked a lot about the rumors of Connolly coming to Minnesota several weeks ago. He reported that John Wallace, who was the Nuggets director of scouting, or scouting coordinator, I guess was his title. The Timberwolves are hiring John Wallace away from Denver to become director of player personnel, as well as the general manager of the Iowa Wolves, of course, the Timberwolves G League affiliate. So a dual role. The Wolves have had a couple different people in that role in past years. I think both under Tibbs and under Gerson Rosas, they had different folks in those roles. But John Wallace has thought very highly of, obviously, the college scouting thing. Denver has drafted, we talked about this a ton when Tim Connolly was hired. The track record that Denver had in regard to drafting, especially late in the first round and into the second round, even beyond Nikola Jokic and Monty Morris, who were both second-round picks, that obviously Jokic becoming an MVP and Morris becoming a starter. Beyond that, the Nuggets have drafted extremely well for a long time, and apparently John Wallace is a big part of that. Mike Singer also tweeted out following this. He said, I'll just read his tweet verbatim. Singer says, behind the scenes, Wallace fostered a ton of growth with Denver's guards. In particular, he earned Jamal Murray's trust. There were also numerous pregames where he'd pull Bones, meaning Bones Highland, aside and offer his perspective from his playing days, have a feeling Wallace is going to thrive in Minnesota. This is really interesting. I don't know, as a scouting coordinator with the Nuggets, I don't know. That's a little interesting that he had that much interaction with the current players, right? With the players currently on the roster. So I'm not sure what that's going to look like in Minnesota, but if it's a similar sort of arrangement, of course, the Wolves have D'Angelo Russell, who's one of the more, polarizing guards in the league. You know, very, can be an all-star caliber player, had his ups and downs last year, kind of a peaks and valleys season. Perhaps there's a positive impact there. Obviously, Anthony Edwards and Jalen Noel, another young guard who's going to have a much bigger role this season. Those are really kind of the candidates for players that I think potentially Wallace could impact the most with his presence if he does have a track record of engaging with guards having a meaningful presence around the practice facility and in the locker room and beyond. So apparently a very good hire, apparently a coveted person. Of course, if you take a quick spinner on Twitter, Denver fans will tell you how they feel about this. And I think it's more maybe the concept the reality that Tim Connolly is now poaching people from Denver. Of course, also signing Bryn Forbes and Austin Rivers, free agents, of course, but players that he had in Denver last season too. So the Denver to Minnesota train continues. Perhaps perhaps a little still unlike the Tom Thibodeau Bulls North, you know, obviously not a superstar like Jimmy Butler. But some of these other additions are perhaps a bit more meaningful than end of career Luol Deng, you know, post obviously Derrick Rose had a very nice season in Minnesota, but kind of this, you know, Taj Gibson, I guess, was an impactful addition, but you know, John Lucas III, some of those guys who Tibbs brought in because of the Bulls connection that maybe weren't as impactful. Forbes and Rivers are going to be fringe rotation guys, but John Wallace should have an impact here, you know, in the G League, in the college scouting department with the Wolves, and then also apparently around the team as well. All right, next we'll talk about what Glenn Taylor had to say. Just a couple of things. I'm not going to like fully aggregate Doogie's podcast because that wouldn't make sense. I'd like you to go listen to Doogie's podcast. I just want to give my thoughts on a couple of things that that Glenn Taylor said to Darren Wolfson on the Score North podcast. We're going to do that here in a minute, and then we'll get to David Aldridge at The Athletic here following that. First, though, let's talk about our friends over at BetOnline. BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your betting needs. Find all your favorite sports and events at the number one online source for odds, lines, and games. Find reviews and news of every league, including Major League Baseball, the NFL, the NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. Of course, NFL preseason has kicked off. The Hall of Fame game was a week ago now. And I think the Vikings, the Packers, a bunch of teams in the NFC North are playing this weekend preseason. I think everybody's playing this weekend, but Friday night games, I believe, are pretty typical for preseason. So get on that over at BetOnline. If you want to bet NFL preseason happening now, of course, win totals, over-unders are up for NBA. The Wolves continue to be underrated there. So go check it all out at BetOnline. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sport wagering information. From live in-game betting to scores and podcasts, they have you covered. Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to learn more about the action happening today. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, Timberwolves majority owner Glenn Taylor sat down with Darren Wolfson of the Score North podcast, and of Score North and the Five Eyewitness News, I should say. It's the Scoop podcast with Darren Wolfson. And Doogie talked to Glenn about a wide variety of topics. Of course, Glenn sits with Doogie maybe once and maybe even twice a year. And so please go listen to the podcast. You know, Doogie does an awesome job covering the Wolves and really all things sports in the Twin Cities. And Glenn is pretty, you know, typically free and open with his responses. So go listen to that pod. But a couple kind of high points is obviously they talked about the Rudy Gobert trade. And, you know, nothing groundbreaking, but Taylor does talk about how there were several options that Tim Connolly was interested in. And Gobert, according to Taylor, not a Freudian slip. It wasn't. Love Glenn Taylor. According to Taylor, the number one option of the trade market was Rudy Gobert in Connolly's mind. So Gobert was allegedly the top target, which is interesting. It's not surprising to me. Obviously, they did not trade for DeJounte Murray and Atlanta did. They were willing to give up a ton of picks. Everybody was worried about how many picks Atlanta gave up for approximately, what, 2 or 3 days until the Wolves made the Gobert trade. And then everyone forgot about all the picks for DeJounte Murray. But the Wolves were rumored to be interested in Murray and, you know, instead pivoted and traded for Rudy. I would imagine all along Gobert was a more attractive target for the Wolves front office. As much as that might surprise some folks in the national media, that makes a lot of sense to me. And Taylor also confirmed that the Jazz really wanted Jade McDaniels, and we all know that, and that actually kind of made the talks take longer because of how much Utah wanted Jade McDaniels. And it's hard to say how much of that is the Wolves kind of like overselling it and saying, hey, well, look what we could have done. We really like Jade McDaniels, you know, building Jaden up in the meantime. But then again, Glenn Taylor, I don't know that he's really as much of a, I know he's a businessman, but he's not as much of a smokescreen or blowing smoke type of a guy. I think he kind of shoots it straight and sometimes says too much. And in this, if that's true, I mean, like, I mean, it's not a surprise, right? Jaden McDaniels, I think, is coveted around the league, a lottery talent that fell into the late 20s for the Wolves a couple years ago in the draft. And it's not surprising that Danny Ainge in Utah would have been interested in Jaden McDaniels. He talks a little bit about D'Angelo Russell and how he could have a big season. I talked with, I'm actually on, I guess it's Saturday here in the United States. If you're listening in the United States, Josh, of course, Josh Lloyd from Lockdown Fantasy Basketball is in Australia. His show posts on Friday, Saturday. And I did a Timberwolves episode with Josh, and he asked me which Wolves player I thought would potentially take a step back this season in terms of their stats, not necessarily only fantasy basketball, but in general. I said D'Lo, and I think he's the one that could go either way. Obviously, contract season, playing with Rudy Gobert, perhaps he has a monster season, or maybe it doesn't quite work because he's now suddenly, you know, Anthony Edwards is only going to continue to get the ball more. Carl Anthony Towns is only getting better. You add Gobert to the mix, and are there enough shots for D'Lo? Is he going to stay happy, or does he thrive in the Gobert pick and roll? And Glenn Taylor talks about how Chris Finch thinks Russell's going to have a big season based on the lineup that he's going to play with. And I think that makes a ton of sense. They talked a little bit about, could the Wolves make another big move? Glenn says basically probably not, but you never know with Tim Connolly. That makes sense. I talked about that as well with Josh Lloyd on Locked On Fantasy Basketball on his show that, you know, it's pretty unlikely the Wolves make a major move at any point in the next, call it like 10 months, right? I mean, they could do some stuff on the fringes by the deadline, but you know, I don't think any of the starters are getting traded. I don't think anything, they don't have picks to trade either. So it's pretty unlikely that something major happens here trade-wise in the next several months. All right, so go check out that interview. That was on the Score North podcast. I think it posted on Thursday, early Thursday at Score North. So go check that out. Doogie does a great job. And Glenn was generous with his time with Darren Wolfson. Okay, let's transition to talking about David Aldridge, of course, of NBA TV and TNT. He also writes at The Athletic. And he is in the process of releasing his best NBA's best offseason moves by team. He is going from, he did the top 10 first. So spoiler, the Wolves are in the top 10. I'm about to talk all about it. So really not a spoiler at all. And then he's going to release the next, the 20 through or 11 through 20 and then 21 through 30. I guess next week or no, I'm sorry. He already released the first two. He did do it in order from 30 to 1. And now he released on Tuesday 21 to 30 and Wednesday 11 to 20. And then now on Thursday, he released numbers 10 through 1. This is at The Athletic, so you do need a subscription to read it. If you don't have one, I'd recommend it. The Athletic is fantastic. Your Minnesota Timberwolves ranked 5th in David Aldridge's top 30 NBA offseasons, or ranking all 30 in his offseason power rankings. He's clear with his methodology that it's not a power ranking system. It's not a power ranking based on every team right now. So like, for instance, the Kings, he says, had a better offseason than the Warriors is the example he uses. Doesn't mean Sacramento's better than Golden State. Means they had more room to improve in the offseason and Sacramento did a better job of improving their roster because, again, not hard to improve, or shouldn't be hard to improve on what was a poor roster. And so then he talks about, you know, basically injuries matter, continuity matters, et cetera. So in the top 10, he's got the Pistons at 10. He's got the Rockets at 9. Of course, both bad teams that should have gotten better. The Thunder at 8, another example of that. Portland at 7, a team that was bad last year that really, I mean, you know, adding Jeremy Grant is going to do a lot for them. But of course, their improvement is going to come from Damian Lillard being healthy. The Kings at 6, which surprised me a little bit that he liked their offseason so much. And I want to talk briefly about them because I like to bag on the Kings on the show because there aren't very many franchises that are nearly as woebegone as the Wolves. And Sacramento is absolutely one of them. He talks about, you know, adding Malik Monk, obviously is significant. Kevin Huerter, you know, we'll see. I'm not the biggest Kevin Huerter fan, but about adding those guys to kind of shore up what they have. And then obviously they're hoping to get, you know, they get a full season out of Domantas Sabonis and obviously De'Aaron Fox. I don't see how that roster really improved that much. I guess they didn't really mortgage anything in the future, right? So I guess that's part of it is they didn't, you know, they have a shot at the play-in now, right? Because you're talking about shoring up a team. De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis building around them shouldn't be that difficult. That should be a roster that could get into the play-in. And I just don't think that Huerter, Malik Monk, and Matthew Dellavedova is enough to really get them over the hump and into the play-in. But at any rate, so let's talk about the Wolves at number 5. We'll get to them here next, and then we'll talk about who the top 4 are, who actually, according to David Aldridge, had a better offseason than the Timberwolves. We're going to do that here next. All right, the Timberwolves are ranked 5th in David Aldridge's top, or I keep saying top 30, obviously top 30, there's 30 teams in the NBA. In his offseason rankings, the Wolves are 5th out of 30 teams. Of course, we talked about this on the show forever, but they've added Gobert, Kyle Anderson, Austin Rivers, and for some reason, Bryn Forbes is on his list. Bryn Forbes, the rookies, the two-way guys, is the roster now. And they lost, of course, Patrick Beverley, Malik Beasley, Leandro Balmaro, Jared Vanderbilt, and then all the picks, the draft rights that they traded away, et cetera. So I'll read here partly what David Aldridge says. He says, did the Wolves give up too much for Gobert? Without question. Was it the right move for the Wolves to make, given their inability to attract impact free agents? Without question. Both things can be and are true at the same time. Gobert is a true needle mover who will drastically improve Minnesota's interior D and take pressure off Karl-Anthony Towns, a notorious follower to have to guard elite opposing bigs. Okay, that's David. This is me talking now. That is the most level-headed, fantastic national analysis we've seen of the Rudy Gobert trade. For all of the hemming and hawing and the Bill Simmons over at The Ringer, that podcast, the national forecasts I've read here recently at ESPN and CBS, giving the Wolves a C or a C minus. It's absurd. And I've said as much constantly over the past several weeks. If you add an all-NBA player to a team that was 46-win team, a playoff team that has a rising superstar in Anthony Edwards and an existing top 20 player in Karl-Anthony Towns, how is your offseason a C or a C minus? I don't care how many future draft picks you gave up. Is the team going to be better or worse? The answer is they're going to be better. If any other team, regardless of cost, added a top 25 player, a three-time defensive player of the year, we'd be talking about how much better they were going to be this year. But instead, the Wolves are getting projected to win essentially the same number of games and finish seventh by ESPN. David Aldridge is 100% right. Yes, the Wolves overpaid. We've talked about that on the show. Gobert is not actually worth, at his age now, with his contract, as many picks as the Wolves gave up. He isn't. However, this particular player, his fit with the Wolves, how good he is as a rebounder and as a rim protector and an overall defender, fits exactly what the Wolves need. He's the type of superstar that's going to be more than happy playing in Minnesota, and the Wolves were never going to sign a multi-time all-star, all-NBA player in free agency. It never was going to happen. It likely never will happen. So you have to overpay a little. And, I mean, we'll see, obviously, but the fit seems to make a ton of sense. And Aldridge, as I've talked plenty about, right? I mean, the strengths of Gobert fill the weaknesses of Towns and vice versa. Both of those guys have said as much in their respective press conferences this offseason with the Wolves, and Finch and Connolly have talked about it. But Aldridge is that it's just the absolute perfect nuance that somehow David Aldridge is the only member of the national media that has figured this out yet. When you're graded in an offseason, you don't care how many future picks you gave up. You care about, did the team get better and how much better are they? And he puts them fifth. He talks a little bit about ownership as well and the splash they want to make. He talks about Kyle Anderson and how well he should do as secondary ball handler and playmaker, which I've talked about quite a bit, alongside Anthony Edwards and D'Angelo Russell. He says, you know, obviously the immediate future is mortgaged because of the picks given up for Gobert. You worry about him in the playoffs. But he also mentions that keeping Gobert on the floor in the playoffs and getting out of the second round is a problem that the Timberwolves, who, of course, as listeners of this podcast know, win 13 straight years with no playoffs and 16 out of 17, and now we're at, 17 out of 19 seasons with no playoffs, I believe is correct. That's a good problem to have, honestly. And if this team lost in the second round, I'll tell you right now, what you're going to hear from Jazz fans, what you'll hear from casual NBA fans, you hear on Twitter, is, oh, Gobert can't get out of the second round of the playoffs. But you know who's only been in the second round of the playoffs once in 30 years, 32 years? The Minnesota Timberwolves. So if Rudy Gobert and Karl-Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell and Anthony Edwards take this team to the second round, there's a lot worse outcomes for the Minnesota Timberwolves. It'd be the second best season in Timberwolves history if they got to the second round of the playoffs. If they had the same season that Utah has had multiple times with Rudy Gobert on the roster, that'd be seen as a success. Now, that's not obviously the end goal. This team should compete for a conference finals appearance, if not a title. They should be a top four seed in the Western Conference, no matter what ESPN's saying right now in early August. So, they had a good offseason. I think ranking them fifth makes a ton of sense. Now, right after I was complaining about who is sixth that I didn't like, Sacramento being sixth. I'm also going to complain about Denver being fourth. I don't understand how the Denver Nuggets are fourth on this list. They traded Monty Morris. They traded Will Barton. They traded Jamichael Green. They lost Austin Rivers and Brent Forbes. And who'd they gain? Bruce Brown, good player. DeAndre Jordan, not a good player anymore. And Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who's a good player. Ish Smith as well, I guess. I mean, I guess you extended Nikola Jokic. That's part of the offseason. And obviously getting Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. back, although Jamal Murray hasn't played in nearly 2 years. Michael Porter Jr. hasn't played in nearly 1 year. If those guys don't return to the form they were in at some point this season, they're not going to be that much better. So I'm a little confused by that. The Boston Celtics third, I get that. Adding Malcolm Brogdon and Danilo Gallinari, that's not a bad offseason for a team that went to the finals last season. The Hawks, second, not my favorite. You know, DeJounte Murray's good. I don't actually love the fit with him and Trae Young. I get why they're doing it. Mo Harkless, Justin Holiday, those are good additions, but you're still losing Gallinari and Herter. So I don't know. I don't know that I'd have them second. The Sixers first, which is also interesting because I guess we're waiting the return of Joel Embiid, the return of Harden, the re-signing of James Harden. But they're basically replacing Danny Green with PJ Tucker. And I mean, I guess they also added De'Anthony Melton's a pretty significant addition as well. I guess if we're factoring in the entire offseason, if I'm going to say you can't complain too much about losing the picks, then I guess we have to also acknowledge that Philly and Denver are making and Atlanta are making moves to extend existing players and get guys back from injury. Those things do matter. So that's why they're all ranked ahead of the Wolves. But you'd be hard-pressed to find a team who, I mean, nobody added a superstar at the level of Rudy Gobert, right? There's really no example of that. I guess Boston getting Brogdon Brogdon isn't a top 20 player. Rudy Gobert is somewhere between, top 20, top 25. There aren't many other, certainly not playoff teams that made big moves like that or really anybody. So, putting the Wolves fifth, I'm okay with it. They certainly could be higher though, given some of those teams that are ahead of them. But at any rate, go check it out if you have an Athletic subscription. Easily the most level-headed, best analysis of the Wolves offseason by somebody who doesn't follow the Wolves or is not on the Wolves beat. Very good job by David Aldridge. He's always been fantastic on TV and in print. So go check it out at The Athletic if you get the opportunity. All right, that's all I have for today here on the show. We'll, of course, be back on Monday. In the meantime, go check out the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast, Josh Lloyd, Red Rock B-Ball on Twitter. Josh does a fantastic job. I was on the show, a full show, just about the Timberwolves. He asked me some trivia questions, of which I got three right, although I hedged on one of them. But I got it right. My first answer was correct. And then a very difficult trivia question that I completely biffed, embarrassingly so. But also, I'm sure you, the listener, won't get the answer correct either. It's a very difficult trade question involving the Timberwolves, involving D'Angelo Russell. At the end of the show with Josh, as you're listening to this on Friday, it's probably not posted. I think it'll be Saturday here in the U.S. that it posts. So check that out over your weekend. Josh Lloyd's podcast. We did a 30-minute conversation about all things Wolves. A little bit of fantasy talk in there, but it's mostly just straight him asking me questions about the Timberwolves and us talking a bit about the team, the offseason, the rotation, et cetera. And then we'll be back, of course, on Monday again next week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday here at Locked On Wolves. Thank you once again for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. A reminder, you can watch on YouTube plus listen on any of your favorite audio platforms from Apple to Google, Spotify to Odyssey. You can follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and also at BBeacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. Of course, the Locked On Wolves podcast is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. You can make your second listen each and every day, the Locked On NBA Show. Get up to date on the latest news and rumors in the league in just 30 minutes every day with Locked On NBA. Locked On NBA, your daily NBA update in just 30 minutes. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.